ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Let's see the context. Two verses we're discussing. Oh, let's go back to the beginning. Oh, yeah, okay. In the Vishnu Purana, Maitreya asks, Nirgunasya Prameyasya Shudhasya Piyamalatmanaha Katam Sargadi Kartvitvam Brahmano Pyupagamyate. How can it be accepted that Brahman, which is without qualities, not measurable, pure, and never contaminated, acts in the creation and so on of the material world? And Parashara answers, Shaktaya sarva bhavanam achintya jnana gochara yatoto brahmanastastu sargadya bhava shaktaya bhavanti tapatam shreshta pavakasya yatoshnata. Since all things that exist have energies understandable only by intelligence that transcends ordinary reason, certainly the Supreme also has such energies in his personal nature, the potencies of creation, and so on. Oh, best of ascetics, these inconceivable energies of his are like the heat of fire. And Jiva Goswami has been discussing this. Actually, we read Sridhar Swami's Tika on these two verses. Those qualities were Nirguna, Aprameya, Shuddha, Amalatmana. The absolute truth has nothing to do with the material modes. It's not measurable. It's not limited in any sense in time and space. It's pure in the sense of having no body, or else of having no, not depending on the help of anybody else, support of anybody else. And he's amalatma, he's, the absolute truth is beyond sin and piety. So how could such absolute truth be the creator of the world of duality? And the answer is in terms of that the absolute truth has his inconceivable potencies, which do the apparently impossible for him. So now we're up to 16.5. Atra prashna soyam Brahma kalu nirvishesham evaiti paksham ashritya pariharas tu savishesham evaiti paksham ashritya prita iti geyam. We should understand that the question presented in this passage adheres to the opinion that Brahman is devoid of distinct qualities. Maitreya's question is presented from the Mayavadi point of view, or the Advaitavadi point of view. While the refutation of the doubt adheres to the other opinion that he has distinct qualities. Okay, in Parashara's answer is from the personalist point of view. Ata eva prashne shudhasya eti atra adehasya eti api vyakyatam. Thus the word shuddha I'm sorry, hold on a second. There's a spelling mistake there. The word shuddha, pure, in the question. Okay. Has been explained in the commentary as not having a body. Because that's what the impersonalists think pure being pure means. And it, okay, Hare Krishna. Darn. Okay. Shuddhatvam hiyatra kevalatvam matam. In this context, purity is meant to indicate exclusively separate existence. I wouldn't say separate. Actually, it's the idea that it's the only thing that's real. My translation, separate existence, doesn't really say that. Okay, I'm making a comment. Excuse me. Something wrong in the translation. Let me try to fix that. The word purity is meant to indicate kaivalyam, the state of being only one, if not being more than one, however you want to say that. What was your question? Yes, Prabhu? Unique? Well, you're unique. Are you the one and only absolute truth? Everybody's unique. Okay, so not unique. Tut, you're one. Are you two? But you're not the absolute truth, that's all. Tatcha yuktam. Parihare brahmani shakti stapanat. Purvapakshamate brahmani shaktir api nastiti gamyate. This is appropriate. That this Shirosami explained the words from the point of view of the speaker, the impersonal point of view of the speaker, and then the personal point of view of the reply. Shirosami has gotten it right. This is appropriate since in the refutation, Brahman is shown to have energies. Whereas in the statement of the opposing view, it is implied that Brahman has no energies. Because the opposing view comes first, the Purvapaksha. Tata prashnavakye pyevam artantaram gyeyam nirgunasya prakrita prakrita guna rahitasya ota eva pramana gocharasya tata eva amalatmano pi shuddhasya natu spatika der eva parachayaya nyata drishtasya. Consequently, another different idea can also be derived from the question. So here we're going to be given a different interpretation that's implied by the question, something more, not contrary to, but in addition to what Sridhar Swami said, that Brahman is without qualities. The word is nirgunasya in the verse, meaning devoid of both material and spiritual qualities. Sridhar Swami didn't make it that radical in his commentary. But actually, if Maitreya is talking from the impersonalist point of view, that's what he means by nirguna. No material or spiritual qualities. And therefore accessible to any means of knowledge. Any means of acquiring knowledge. If something has no qualities, how can you know it? And thus is also uncontaminated, pure. Well, it's free of all qualities. That's pretty pure. Not like such an object as a glass crystal, which appears otherwise than it actually is in the shadow of something else. Okay. A glass crystal is an example of something existing in duality. Actually, everything that exists is nothing separate from Brahman. According to the... I'm talking like a Mayavadi now. Not that everything doesn't exist, but everything is nothing except for Brahman. Only Brahman really exists. But when you have something like, okay, example of a dual, an idea of an entity in duality, a crystal, glass prism or crystal. If you put a red rose behind it, it looks red. There's no redness in the crystal. Actually, the crystal is not red, it's transparent. So Brahman is the reality, but somehow something gets imposed on it and it seems to be something else, and we seem to have duality. That's the Mayavadi explanation. Of course, what is it that can impose itself on Brahman and create duality? That has to be explained. Okay. Commentary. Although Maitreya was a faithful disciple of Parashara, who's Vyasadeva's father, for the sake of probing into the depths of his doubts, he pretended to be a philosophical opponent. He framed in the terms that an Advaitavadis would use in his question about the creation from non-dual Brahman of the world of duality, the creation of the world of duality from non-dual Brahman. Okay. Maitreya replied by affirming that the Supreme, and not only his imperfect reflection, possesses real energies. So there's changes, there's things happening in the duality. So there must be some kind of energies, illusory energies or some kind of energies making things happen in duality. But we're saying, Maitreya replies as a personalist by affirming that the Supreme, and not only his imperfect reflection, possesses real energies. Not only Maya has energies, but the Supreme has spiritual energies, perfect energies. Real energies who fulfill all of his intentions, including the creation of a world of bondage for the rectification of his wayward creatures. Srila Jiva offers us two interpretations of Maitreya's question. Sridhar Swami's and another of his own. Here in 16.5, he's given an extra interpretation of his own. The first characterizes Brahman in a way that both personalists and impersonalists will accept. And the second is more unequivocally Mayavad. Thus, in Sridhar Swami's reading, Nirguna means devoid of the material modes. And in the other interpretation takes it as devoid of both spiritual and material modes. In the first reading, Aparmeya is unmeasurable, or undelimited by space, time, and so on. And in the second interpretation, it means, Jiva Goswami takes it to mean, inaccessible to any means of knowing, because of having no qualities. In the first reading, Shuddha means either having no body or having no helper. And Amalatma means either having no traces of good or bad karma or having no desire or other material emotions. In the second interpretation, Shuddhasyapi, Amalatmanaha, taken together, putting them together. Go over there and tell them, somebody tell them to stop talking. Tell them they're disturbing the class. Taken together means of that which is pure, without fault, and not a false appearance. Okay. Going on to 16.6. Tadevam nirvishesha tam avalambya prashne siddhe parihare tu pratama yojanayam nirvishesha paksham anadvitya brahmani kartritva pratipatyartam shaktayak sadhitaha. So it is while, on the one hand, the question is expressed according to the idea of non-differentiation. On the other hand, in the refutation, in the case of the first interpretation of the word pure,
The opinion that Brahman has no distinctions is disregarded, and the energies of Brahman are proven to exist in order to establish that he is active.
Dvitiya yojanayam tatra cha vishesha pratipatyartam yata jaladishu kadachid ushnatadikam agantukam syat tata brahmani na syat iti nidharatam natat samascha vedikascha drishyate iti shuteh. And in the case of the second interpretation, the more radically Mayavad interpretation of the first verse given by Jiva Goswami, in order to establish that there are distinctions in him, it is ascertained that in Brahman there are no accidental qualities like the heat sometimes occurring in water. This is supported by the statement of Shruti, nothing can be found equal or greater than him. So the second interpretation, we read the second verse as saying that he has qualities, but not like the qualities, the quality of heat that fire has. The quality of heat that fire has. Oh, water! I get it. Okay, fire has innate heat, but water can sometimes be hot. But it's not. Water is not always hot. It can be just the opposite. It can be freezing. Okay, I'm sorry. The accidental quality, that means temporary qualities. This is English philosophy. What's his name? Locke, John Locke, the empiricist in the 17th century, used this terminology, accidental qualities. It means temporary qualities, like water becoming cold or hot. So it is ascertained that in Brahman there are no accidental qualities like the heat sometimes occurring in water. This is supported by the statement of Shruti, nothing can be found equal or greater than him. There are distinctions in him. Now let's see, that should be something that we find in the second verse. I'm sorry, I have to go back to the verse. I want to see it. Yeah. There are bhava shaktis in all things, and Brahman also has such qualities that are inconceivable. The second interpretation, let me read it again, 16.5. Sorry. Where is that Tvitiya Yojanam? Evam Atrantanam Kiyam, Nirgunasya, Shudasya. Well, I'm just trying to understand whether wandering and mumbling here, but Jiva Goswami at this point, in order to establish that the Absolute has qualities, he shows the apparently Parashara in the reply shows that there are no qualities in Brahman, accidental qualities like the heat of water. I guess in the first verse, that's in Maitreya's verse. Okay, because how does this prove that there are qualities, and who's saying it where in which verse? In Parashara's answer, he says, "Yes." What's going on? So, who is it? Oh, the Bhagni lady. Okay, well, hold on a second.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Maitreya's answer. He's talking, he says that fire has got innate qualities. So that implies something contrary to temporary qualities? Okay, it's by implication. Yeah.
Here it says that natat samash chapyatikash chadrishyate iti shrutehe. So how does this...
nothing equal or...
Yeah, how does this sutra from the Shruti confirm with this idea?
How does it support the idea?
Yeah, how does it support the idea? Because...
Okay. I'm not sure. Let me... let me make a note to think about this. Yeah. I may have to wait until tomorrow to give you a good answer. Let me make a note. Who's saying this? Where? That there are no... Yeah, I know the verse. And the last line seems relevant. He has his innate energies. But he's citing this line, that there are no accidental. And what's the relevance? I'm asking, and I'm going to have to think about it, relevance of natatsamash. Okay, maybe I'll figure it out by tomorrow. Or maybe someone else can figure it out.
Yeah, what I was thinking, can it mean that since nothing is equivalent to Brahman or more than Brahman, higher than Brahman, this is what the sutra means. So can it mean that since nothing is equivalent to Brahman, no other quality can be imposed on Brahman, because all the other qualities which are not innate to Brahman, but which are temporal or accidental qualities, they are certainly inferior to Brahman, and so they cannot be imposed on Brahman. Can it mean like this?
I guess so. I guess so. It's a little convoluted logic to argue from that there's nothing equal or greater than him, that nothing can be imposed on him, because anything that could be imposed on him has to be superior to him? Well, inferior to him. Well, then this statement should be there's nothing inferior to him. It says nothing superior to him. So something inferior to him could be falsely imposed on him. Still, even if there is nothing superior to him. That's the Mayavadi theory. There's nothing greater than Brahman. Still, Maya's there. And illusions imposed. But we say, no, but we argue, how can Maya do anything to Brahman like that? What power does she have over Brahman? If she does, then she's superior. Okay. Probably. Okay, but they still have that other question. Yes. Okay, take the mic, please.
I think that this quality are Brahman's quality, and because nothing can be superior to him, it must be qualities of the same nature as Brahman.
Well, nothing can be equal to him either.
Yeah, so
the qualities can't be equal to him either, according to that statement.
Either equal to him or the same nature.
Nothing is equal or greater.
Yeah.
Well, so then that's not an argument to prove that his qualities are equal to him. Because nothing is equal to him, according to the statement.
So it means only Brahman's innate qualities. Otherwise, it must be something else.
Well, yeah, there's nothing else equal to or greater than him. But his own qualities are him. They are different from him, so they can be equal to him. That's okay. Yeah, okay. So it just doesn't seem to easily come out of the words. That's all. We can infer these things, but it's not all spelled out here like that. Anyway, I'll puzzle over this. I don't think I completely understand it, these two sentences. Let's just move on for now. Tata mani mantradi bir iti vyatireka drishtanta iti ato brahmashaktayas tu nanyena parabhuta iti eta chadarshitam. Well, okay, here's something. A negative example has also been given in the words beginning mani mantradi bir. Where are the words mani mantradi bir? I think they're back in Sridhar Swami's commentary. Okay, I think it was talking about what does it say about money and mantras?
Lots of sub-bottom.
What? So even in the material world, mantras and jewels have inconceivable energies, and that's a counterexample, a negative example. Let's see. Oh, God, Krishna, it's so complicated. A negative example has also been given in the words beginning mani mantradi bir, by which it is shown that the energies of Brahman cannot be defeated by anything else. Well, the mani and the mantras can... Oh, what does it have to do with the jewels and the mantras?
It's indirect example.
Indirect, but this is vyatireka drishtanta. Vyatireka drishtanta is like... wherever there's fire, there's smoke. Unlike in the lake where there's no fire, there's also no smoke. That's a negative example, vyatireka drishtanta. So we'd have to have an example of where something that doesn't have something that doesn't exist doesn't have inconceivable qualities or something. Everything that exists has inconceivable qualities. Where there isn't inconceivable qualities, there can't be any existence. Something like that. Negative example. But this says the negative example is showing that the energy of Brahman cannot be defeated by anything else. Krishna. Sorry, I should have been more prepared for this. I'm looking back at Sridhar Swami's commentary. Yes?
We have in Chatushlok Anvaya Vyatireka Abhyam. So this Vyatireka is that?
Where is Anvaya Vyatireka? Where?
Chatushloki.
This is Anvaya Vyatireka are terms from Nyaya Shastra that when you prove something by when you give the reasons to prove something, you also have to give examples. And if possible, you should give both positive and negative examples. Because otherwise you could have theoretically correct but meaningless arguments. Like all square triangles are pink. That's logically correct according to modern logic. Because there's no square triangle that isn't pink. Therefore, all square triangles are pink. But in Nyaya logic, you have to give an example. Give me an example of a square triangle that's pink. Like the one over there on the wall, the square triangle on the wall, it's pink. You know, that would be an example. But there is no such example, so therefore your argument is absurd. We don't accept it without an example. If you can't give a positive example, then at least come up with a negative example. You know, like, I argue all... No square triangle... I give another argument. No square triangles are pink. Well, I can give a negative example. No, I can't, because there's no square triangles. Okay. Anyway, here we have a negative example, supposedly. That's Vyatireka. And Lord Vishnu is telling Brahma, you should discover the absolute truth by argument using positive and negative examples. Okay, I'm going to have to put another question here. We'll come back to this tomorrow if I can figure it all out. How is this a negative example. And how does it prove that Brahman's qualities are not defeated by anything? Anybody can answer that? How does saying, I'm referring to the fact that, let's go back to Sridhar Swami's commentary. Where is it? It's 16.2? 4. And what exactly does he say about money and mantras?
It's the second paragraph. Sorry, third paragraph.
Just 1 second.
The last paragraph.
Yes, Sarva Gabra? Before you start something else, I want to answer this question. I want to see what Sridhar Swami said. Yeah, Pariharati Shaktiya Iti Saradena. He refutes the Mayavad idea with the verse and a half beginning Shaktiya. In this world of all existing things, like jewels and mantras, money mantra adinam. Okay, there are inconceivable energies. And now again, there's money mantra adi beer. Last paragraph. Okay, ato money mantra adi beer. Okay, this is the statement. Therefore, this makes sense. The Supreme's energies, is that what you're going to say? The Supreme's energies can't be defeated by anything in the same way that gems and mantras can defeat the heat of fire. Is that what we're saying? Okay, I have a question here. When I wrote my translation, but then I wrote a question to myself here. Is this a positive or a negative example? Can money mantradi counteract the aushnya of Agni? I guess it can. Not that it's going to make the fire forever cool, all the fire in the world, but if I burn my finger, you can chant a mantra or rub some jewel on it and my finger won't burn anymore. That kind of removing some local manifestation of fire. You can remove the heat. But you can't do that. Nothing, there's no energies that can undo the energies of the Supreme.
I don't know which Upanishad, I don't exactly remember, but in one Upanishad it's mentioned, one story is mentioned that one time the Supreme Brahman, he wanted to test all the demigods.
Prashna Upanishad.
Yeah, beginning from Indra, Agni, Varuna, etc.
Yes, yes.
So he laid down a piece of straw on the ground.
Yes.
And he told Agni, if you can burn it, burn it.
Yes.
And show your prowess.
Yes.
So the personified demigod of fire, he tried to burn it, but he could not burn it.
Yes.
So in that example, we can see that the innate quality of fire becomes, extinct, at least for some time.
That wasn't ordinary fire. That was, yeah. If it was ordinary fire, Agni could have... I mean, if it was already grass, he could have burned it.
Yes.
But when Vishnu came, when the Brahman came,
yeah,
and showed his power, uh-huh, then Agni couldn't do anything to him.
Yeah. So that
he couldn't even burn a little blade of grass.
So does it prove that sometimes fire also loses its innate characteristic of burning and giving heat?
I think that's different because that's in the case of the absolute truth,
okay,
wielding his greater power.
Okay.
But we're saying here that sometimes, mm-hmm, even ordinary things, material things like jewels and mantras can, to some extent, in a limited way, counteract the heat of fire.
Also, I was reading in Puranas,
yes,
that it is mentioned that I think it's in Mahabharata it is mentioned that in the glorification of Pativrata, the chaste woman,
yes,
it is mentioned that when the chaste woman enters into fire, you know, along with her husband, at that time the fire becomes cool for her.
Becomes cool for her. Okay.
Yeah. So for the really chaste woman, not just anyone. The chaste woman who is chaste, inner and outside both
depends
ways.
Depends on the woman. Okay.
Yeah. So in that case also, I think chaste woman is not equivalent to Brahman. So, but
no,
even
chaste woman has a special potency.
Yeah.
like a jewel or a mantra. Yes. Yeah. Okay, but the argument here is that, and that's what 16.6 is talking about. Brahma Shakti can't, the energies of Brahman can't be defeated by anything else. And there's a negative example to show that. It's not like the heat of fire, which is supposed to be innate, but it can be to some extent counteracted by the power of mantras, and but nothing can counteract the potencies of Brahman. Okay, Sarvagya, and then Bhagiratam. And then we get back on the online and start reading the text again.
I think why it can be a negative example, like when we tell positive example, we make some explanation of this. But in this case, we tell that it cannot be, we cannot understand how this mantras and the jewel works.
Inconceivable.
So, in the same way, we tell that we cannot understand how is it so, and we don't give right. something
well,
positive.
That's an argument for the other point, yeah. that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. Yeah. But this is a particular the thesis we're trying to establish here: the energies of the Lord can't be defeated by anything else. Well, we can't give a positive example because the Brahman is the only thing whose energies can't be defeated by anything. You can't give an example of something else or someone else. You know, Brahman's energies can't be defeated like anyone, like so-and-so's energies. Well, nobody else is like that. So all you can come up with is a negative example. That's why this is a Vyatireka Nyaya, to try to prove logically that nothing can defeat the energies of Brahman. You should give an example, but there's no positive example. There's nothing like Brahman in that sense. But there are things contrary to it that you can use as negative examples. You got to have an example to be acceptable, to have your argument accepted, your syllogism. So if you can't come up with a positive example, then you have to give a negative one. And best thing is to give both. Sometimes there's only positive examples and no negative ones. Like, everything that exists can be named, like such and such. Everything that exists can be named, like myself. I exist and I have a name. But I can't give a negative example because I can't name anything that doesn't exist. So there's only positive example of that. Bhagavatapu? Is it already mentioned? Yeah. Okay. Nothing like Brahman, nothing that also has energies that can't be defeated. There's nothing else like that.
There is something else other than Brahman can be defeated by, cannot be defeated by anything.
Yes.
Something else, that means there are two Brahman.
Right, it can't be. When you're in the logic, the terminology is, you have your paksha. Our paksha is Brahman, or the energies of Brahman. And the theory is those energies can't be defeated by anything. Or Brahman is the paksha, the thing we're looking at. And the thesis is, the thing we're trying to prove is that his energies can't be defeated. So for positive examples, we look for sapaksha, something else that has the same criterion and the same effect as there, or rather the same vyapti as there. Where there's fire, there's smoke. So where there's such where there's equal energies, equal to Brahman's, they can't be defeated by anything. Well, there is no sapaksha. There's no other thing with the same feature that Brahman has. But you have Vipaksha, counterexample. When you're arguing, wherever there's fire, there's smoke. I see smoke, therefore there must be fire, because wherever there's fire, wherever there's smoke, there's fire. I'm sorry, I have it backwards. Wherever there's smoke, there must be fire. Smoke doesn't, and I give a positive example. In the kitchen, there's smoke, and there's fire in the kitchen. Well, we say we want to make it universal. Wherever there's fire, wherever there's smoke, there's fire. And I can give a counterexample also. The counterexample would turn the logic backwards. If there isn't any fire, there can't be any smoke. So example of a place where there's no fire and there's no smoke is in the middle of the lake. There's no fire there, and there's also no smoke. That's the counterexample. Okay? That's called the vipaksha, the place where the contrary is true, or the contrary is not true. Okay, let's try to finish the paragraph at least. Ubayatra cha swarupa shakti prabhava matrena prakrita sattvadi guna parinama rupa sargadi sadakatva dav avesh abhavena tad doshas alepa chadarshitaha. Oh boy. And in both interpretations, remember we had our two interpretations. One, the milder interpretation of Maitreya's question that wasn't completely Mayavad, and the more radically impersonal interpretation given by Jiva Goswami himself. In both interpretations, it is furthermore shown that simply on the strength of Brahman's internal energy, he remains uninfluenced by acting in the creation, while acting in the creation, and so on, which evolve from goodness in the other material modes. And thus he is untouched by the faults of those modes. So whichever way you read the question, the answer says in both cases that Brahman has his spiritual energies that are inconceivable, and they make it possible for him to create duality without being affected by the faults of the duality. By the power of his inconceivable energies. Okay. Now, in the Sarvasam Bhadani, there's a long argument back and forth between the personalists and the impersonalists. The impersonalists will argue that is this internal so-called spiritual energy, is it the same as Brahman or is it different? In both cases, the impersonalists say you've got problems. If it's if it's different than Brahman, it can't exist. And if it's the same as Brahman, how is it an energy? Energy should be something different. Something has an energy. A man has a wife. The wife is not the same as the husband. The energy is not the same as the thing that has the energies. So either the energies, if it's an energy, it's got to be different. And if it's different, because Brahman is the only reality, it can't exist. Anyway, then the personalists come back, Jiva Goswami argue on their behalf and defeat that argument. That's all in the Sarvasam Bhadani. Not bigger. The book is pretty big. There are 34 files. We're only in file 5 now. So the 34 files to the book, the major part of the book, and there are 13 files. So about one-third of the book. Okay, commentary on 16.6. Okay, Sridhar Swami's commentary gives two interpretations of Maitreya's reply. Oh. The first is cited in the paragraph of text 16.4 beginning, he refutes this doubt. And the second is in the next paragraph beginning, if it can be construed. Let's look at that. Let's look at 16.4, because I thought it was Jiva Goswami who was giving the second interpretation. Oh, boy. 16.4. And do I still have, after the editing, do I still have the same words? If it can, I'm looking at the English. If it can, this second, the last paragraph. If it can be construed that all things which exist have energies known only by inconceivable knowledge, like the heating potency of fire, then it follows that Brahman also has such energies. I think I, yes?
This is a example.
Yeah, and it's really not the second interpretation either. Okay, so this sentence, I have made a blunder. Okay, the second is not, it's not Sridhar Swami who gives both interpretations as far as I can see. Jiva Goswami gives the second one, and he doesn't give it there. He gives it in 16.6, right? Okay. Hi. This is wrong. Second interpretation by Jiva Goswami in 16.6. Okay, we'll fix it. At least it didn't get published like this.
In 16.5?
Yeah, okay. And he calls it. He says, you know, looking at it otherwise. What does he say exactly? There's another meaning.
Nirgunasya nirgunasya prakrit aprakrit guna rahitasya ata eva pramana agocharasya tata eva amalatmano api shuddhasya natu sphatikader eva parachhayaya anyatha trishtasya. This is what he says.
In gist, what's the gist of that?
Yeah, the gist of that is he's giving more radical explanation.
Of the first verse?
Yeah, of the first verse.
Okay.
Dvitiya Yojana.
Okay, but actually we're talking about something else here.
Okay.
Maybe I have a false alarm. Maybe there's nothing wrong with it. Sridhar Swami's commentary gives into interpretation of Maitreya's reply. Now we're talking about two different ways of looking at Maitreya's reply, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Is this right? Not the question. The question there was the second interpretation was given by Jiva, but this is
Parashara's reply, right? Or Maitreya's reply?
Parashara's reply.
Okay.
The second reply.
Okay.
So, well, that's the problem. It's not Maitreya's reply. It's Parashara's. Okay. Okay. Now, do we really have two interpretations of Parashara's reply? Yeah. Oh boy. The Tritiya Yojana is the Yojana of... Okay, so... Oh, boy. This is not... This is two interpretations of the question, not the reply. Oh, and this whole paragraph is funny. Okay. Anyway, at least we quote it. Okay, forget that paragraph. Next paragraph. The Shvetashvata Upanishad was referred to by Sridhar Swami. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natatsamascha vyadikascha drishyate parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate swabhaviki gyanabalakriyacha. He is not obliged to work and has no material senses to carry out work. No one can be found equal to him or greater. And we hear from Scripture, as we hear from Scripture, his own superior energy has her manifold aspects, knowledge, power, and movement, which act autonomously. This translation I borrowed from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second volume. Material entities have both innate swabhavika and accidental agantuka qualities. Water's ability to moisten is inseparable, even if temporarily suspended when the water is frozen solid. Water's being hot or cold, however, is circumstantial. None of the qualities of Brahman are accidental. Each remains always unchanged within him, but to suit his pleasure, sometimes manifests and sometimes does not. Each one of his energies. They're all innate, swabhavika. None of them are agantuka. Qualities that would be incompatible in others meet harmoniously in him. Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha. His innate potencies of knowledge, command, and activity are empowered by him to harmonize the variegated appearance of his qualities in spiritual time and space. After citing this statement of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Sridhar Swami drew the conclusion from it that nothing can defeat the potencies of the Supreme, in the way that gems, mantras, and so on can counteract natural phenomena like the heat of fire. Okay, that's right. This line of reasoning uses what is called in Nyaya logic a vyatireka drishtanta, or negative example. Whenever there is smoke, there is fire, like in the kitchen, positive example, and unlike in the middle of a lake, negative example. In a lake, one can see that there is no fire and no smoke. Okay, that's right. Anyone who consorts with material nature to accomplish something inevitably becomes influenced by the modes of nature he contacts. Even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are to some extent thus influenced. Only the Supreme Lord Vishnu can avoid being affected, because he is always involved with his inner pleasure potency. Atmana ramaya re me tyakta kalam sasrikshaya. Even while intending to send forth into creation his separated energy of time, he continues enjoying within himself, with his beloved. That's Brahma Samhita 5.7. Okay. I think I've created enough confusion for today, so I'll stop here. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Okay.